All right, here we go. Book of Acts. Last time we got together, let me read some of this from last time. It says, how you're prepared how you are perceived is how you will be received. How you're perceived is how you will be received. So we need to be aware of that. I reject the modern leadership teaching that a lot of these guys teach concerning perception, because they almost make you a robotic around people, and they tell you got to act a certain way. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do believe that what we do to others and how we act around them does determine our perception level and their perception level, really, and then that will determine how they receive you. So there is some truth to it, but I wanted to say that from last time, that I don't really worry about what people think. I just have a conscience towards God, and I want to live right with Him, and when I do, that should come out to the people around me and around you. So your character will speak for you when you're not around. So that ties in. Your character. Remember, your character is what God and you know about yourself. Your personality is usually what you show people. That's your mask. I'm looking at everybody. Leon's like, don't look at me. No, but seriously, your personality, that's your mask. That's what people come in. But if your character's right, you have a beautiful personality. But if your character's wrong, people can tell. They can see the fangs behind that mask. So you got to watch out. People do know more about you than you realize. So be careful, okay? A good name is better than the anointing. And it's more valuable than fine gold. Absolutely. If I had a choice, if I were hiring somebody in a church situation and person A could light up a room with an interview but had a nasty attitude and had a bad character and bad references, but person B had a great reference but wasn't that skilled and needed training, I'll take person B any day of the week, because I can train him. The other one, you can't. Because they know it all, or they have this baggage, okay? So good name is better than the anointing. Keeping your name in good standing will require you to sacrifice more than the average person. Always be careful to not want to be somebody else. Don't try to change your anointing for them, because you don't have the grace that they have. You don't know what they go through. You don't know what they have to do to get where they are and to stay there. Their sacrifice would be much different than yours, and God knows that, and that's why you're not at that level yet. Because if he took you to that level, you may not be willing to pay the price. Is that right? That's right. That's exactly right. It's like a small businessman, and he's only making certain amount of money, and he wants to be the big shot, and he wants all these multi-million dollar contracts. Well, he's not ready for that. Come on, somebody, because he can barely balance the book on the six figures he has or what have you. So that's the same thing with character and the anointing. So Acts chapter 16, we get into the whole teaching and understanding about that. The rewards are definitely worth having a good character, good name. We see this with Paul. Luke joins in. Remember verse 11? He says we. So Luke's now in there. Timothy's in there. Paul and Silas got a great dynamic team here moving in ministry. And we see all those truths that I just mentioned displayed. We saw Lydia, the business person. Is that right? The businesswoman. She was born again in her whole house, which was huge, which was a huge breakthrough. And as we look at the beginning of the book of Acts, as we're coming through to chapter 16 here, we see so many great miracles and breakthroughs that God was giving us as a template of what we should be doing today. I truly believe this. I believe in marketplace ministers. I believe in workplace ministers. I believe in ministers in every category, jail ministry, food ministry. You could have a ministry of just putting tracks everywhere. You ought to see my children. We go shopping, and I'll be standing somewhere, and I'll happen to look down and be like, I know that track. It's a track from the church. And then I see Judah Vetter going, or Abby or Josh, where they're laying tracks out. I don't tell them. I don't tell them to do it. They just do it. So that's their ministry. I think it's really awesome, but that's their ministry. I mentioned doing it, and they picked it up. So that's really cool. Whatever it is, You know, we have to recognize and realize that there's ministry everywhere. So all of you are ministers. Please understand that you're a minister wherever you go. You don't have to have a certificate and ordination and blah, blah that people say you have to have. You really don't. Okay? So we went through that. So let's go to tonight. Just going to cut through because of I spent so much time in the beginning. Come on, everybody, dance. Move your feet. Well, that song will stick with you, won't it? Jennifer turns it up in her car real loud and comes home from work just trying to drown out the world. I'm like, is she ever going to get out of the car? No, move your feet. So that's her way of just, you know, relaxing and before she has to meet us. All right, the book of Acts, Wednesday night. Hey, some people drink, some people do this. We listen to praise and worship, amen? That's the way we do it. The book of Acts, when the kingdom of light, watch this, when the kingdom of light throws a party, the kingdom of darkness shows up. Little educational, you know, really easy, but it's deep. Think about it. When the kingdom of light throws a party, the kingdom of darkness shows up. We're going to see that here in this teaching tonight. And you need to have that as a reference point. Not that you don't want to shun the victories of God. You just need to be aware that anytime you have a victory, the devil's there to help you uncelebrate. Isn't that right? He wants you to uncelebrate. Well, we just keep turning the music up. All right. The devil will try to rain on every victory parade in your life. Be smarter than him and bring an umbrella. How do you like that? The devil will try to rain on every victory parade in your life. Be smarter than him and bring an umbrella. Who's your umbrella? Jesus is your umbrella. Praise is your umbrella. Faith is your umbrella. Just say, you know what? Pop, I'm not going to listen to you. You can let it rain, but I got the victory in Jesus, and you're not going to steal that from me. You're just not going to steal that from me, okay? You'd be surprised how many people get a victory in Christ, and then the devil comes in, and then they totally focus on the devil and not on what God did. You got to realize it, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life, life more abundantly. I'm going to stick with the abundant part, okay? I'm going to stick with the blessing part, and we'll see that here in a little bit. If you tolerate the devil, this is going to be a little long, but it's going to be worth it. If you tolerate the devil and never confront him, you allow him the right to not only aggravate you, but to eventually assault you. If you tolerate the devil and never confront him, you allow him the right to not only aggravate you, but to eventually assault you, do bodily harm to you. So we have to be mindful of that. We can't allow the devil. We can't give him rights. We can't give him the ability to hang out. You have to confront him. And this last saying ties into this. Whatever you're willing to tolerate in life has the right to stay. Whatever you're willing to tolerate in life has the right to stay. If you have aggravation in your life, go find the source of it. Confront that source, whether it's physical or it's a spiritual source, and deal with it. If not, be quiet and enjoy it. You know, it's no different than our struggles, whether we struggle with weight, we struggle with this, we struggle with whatever. If we allow those things and we're comfortable with it and we tolerate it, then we just gave the devil access to it. If you like living in misery, live in misery. If you want to be Charlie Brown with your frown up, you know, always frowning around, or Linus with his blanket of dust, that's up to you. I choose to be like Snoopy. I want to be dancing on my feet. I want to be, you know, I want to be excited. I want to love life. Not that things are perfect. I just want to make something good out of what God's given me, okay? So if you tolerate it, then you gave it a right to stay. You really have, and we need to defeat that. Okay, so let's see that played out in our teaching tonight. Acts chapter 16, and I'll go as far as I possibly can tonight. Let me know when you are in verse 16. Are you ready? All right, so he's in Philippi. We see a great movement of God. Lydia, the businesswoman who sells purple, very successful, has a beautiful home according to scholars, according to the whole concept of a woman and a home and slaves and a business and all that, she's doing pretty good. She brings in the men of God. The whole family gets saved. That's a good day, don't you think? That's really nice. Good story. Now watch this. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, everybody say slave girl. In different translations, it's actually a slave girl. Could have been of that house. We're not sure exactly where she was from, but she was a slave girl. Possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought our masters, or her masters, much gain by soothsaying. Divination. Let me give you just a couple New Testament words there so you can write them down to study them, okay? The first one is Python, P-U-T-H-O-N, P-U-T-H-O-N, 4436, if you're going to look it up. I apologize, I can't write on my board anymore because the way the camera is, I can't write it out, so I have to read it to you. One day when we get another camera, we can switch over and everybody can enjoy it. So it's P-U-T-H-O-N, that translates into Python. Okay, and the story goes back to Greek mythology that this particular spirit, the spirit of Python, was guarding the oracles of Delphi. Delphi, a god, and Apollyon came and killed this particular spirit. But that's part of mythology, but they still believe it. We all know it's just the devil in drag. Mythology, cults, anything like that, it's all the devil in drag. No different than aliens and spaceships. It's the devil in drag, okay? And so this particular spirit was very, very interesting because the priestess, that's what they were called, the priestess, they were female. What they would do is they would, at these particular temples, these places of worship, they would prophesy and give riddles or give divination to the people who asked of it by demonic power. But what was interesting is that when these priestesses would get aggravated, they would not speak from their mouths, but they would basically speak through their bellies, and that's where the understanding of ventriloquists came from. And it was just a way that they did. They wouldn't open their mouth, but they would prophesy. And so this woman had that spirit. And because she was really good at prophesying these lies and fortune-telling, she made her masters a lot of money. So this was huge. This was a big deal. I love Paul, and I love this truth, because we're watching these guys. When they came into town, stuff happened. What happens when the church comes to town? Not much. Not much. I mean, really, what happens? That's why when some preacher comes into town, everybody says, come see a preacher, come see a preacher. For what? What's happening? Just a good sermon? Well, you can hear that on the radio. You can sit at home for that. When these gentlemen, moved by the Holy Spirit, when they came into town, things happened. Things happened. And that's what is happening with us, and that's what I want to happen with you. Every day, God wants something great to happen, all right? So we're learning this, and we're seeing this. This is our ministry right here. This is the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ right here. This is what we should be doing. And so this girl, this slave, she was possessed with this demon power, the spirit of Python. Some of you heard that before, the spirit of Python. This is where it comes from. It's a divinating spirit where it speaks lies, but yet has some truth mingled in. You remember, the devil can only know a piece. He can only know a piece. He doesn't understand the future. He can only by a familiar spirit grab some history and a little bit of the current realities and put it together. But he can't tell the future because he doesn't know the future. If he knew the future, he wouldn't have crucified Christ. Even though with the Bible, he still doesn't understand the totality of how and when God's going to do it. He's got to wait just like we do. But God gives us warnings, right? He gives us interpretations. We get to see things he doesn't see. So there's a lot into it. I'm going to teach on demonology. But this is really cool. So Paul, you know, he went through all the stuff he's gone through, saw a great revival with this lady, Lydia, the family. And now here's this slave. Now watch what's happening here. And I'll talk a little more about her again. The same who followed Paul and us, this is, again, Luke's now talking, cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Pretty good preaching for a devil. She was telling the truth, wasn't she? She absolutely told the truth. Isn't that strange? That God allowed a devil to pronounce what these guys were doing. But what the fact is that she could see into the spirit realm and she knew exactly the mission, the mandate, the covenant, the call, the blood. She knew exactly they were from the Most High. And she knew she was from the Most Low. She knew she was from the pit and they were from above. So she had to prophesy truth. Anytime you get in the presence of Jehovah, truth must come out. Truth must come out, okay? So she's preaching the gospel, and you look at these like, well, I mean, she really wasn't doing anything wrong, but watch this. "And this did she many days." How many days? We really don't know. Just many days. "But Paul being grieved," really the word there should be annoyed. You want to write down annoyed. Annoyed. See what I mean about tolerating? Why did Paul wait so many days? He tolerated it. We don't really know. We don't know into the heart and mind of why Paul did that. Scripture doesn't tell us this. But Paul, he just tolerated it. Okay? Now, why was this such a bad thing? Think about this for just a minute. Why was this a bad thing? She's preaching the gospel, basically. She's a free billboard. You wouldn't have to have anybody with a trumpet in front of you. She's telling everybody, these are the men of salvation. They're showing you the way of salvation. They're men of God, Most High. You know, they're sent from the Most High. Why would it not be a good thing? The reason it was a bad thing was that it was coming to the point that she was equating herself with them as she was attached to a team. And Paul said, that's enough. You are not a part of this team. You don't belong with us. And I'm going to deal with you right now. So Paul became annoyed because he recognized and he realized that, wait a minute, even though truth is coming out, everybody knows this is a devil. See, you better be careful about people in your life. You need to confront people in your life. You need to confront things in your life. If you know they're operating in the wrong spirit, if you know that they are antagonizing and whatever, you need to deal with it. Because before long, people are going to think, guess what? Man, he's just like that person. Well, I hang out with so-and-so. Well, you must be like them. See, the name's better than the anointing. And who you hang out with sometimes determines what people think about you. Well, I'm not that way. I'm just trying to get them saved. Okay, you know what I mean? There's a certain time period when you got to say, you know what? This ain't working. You're not giving your life to the Lord. I'm out of here. You hear it so many times with people who are dating people who are not saved. I'm just leading them to the Lord. Sure. Okay? That ain't going to happen. All right, not after 16 years, sweetie. All right, so let's go on. You know what I'm talking about. You know people. I only live with him to save him. Okay. How many of y'all heard that before by family members or whoever? Just move along. All right, so here he is. He had enough of it, man. He did this many days. Paul, being grieved, churned. Notice this. He churned. What are we talking about? We're talking about confronting. Sometimes you got to churn. You got to confront. And said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Sometimes that's all the devil knows. Come out. And he came out the same hour. In other words, just, you know, came out in that time frame. Wow, powerful. Now, this is huge because this is a territorial spirit. Again, I don't want to teach demonology tonight, but you need to write this down. This servant, this slave, was just not some puppet for master. She had a territorial spirit. She was making big money for the people. She was, some scholars even said she had the look of one of the priestesses of Greek mythology. So she was not only capable of channeling and ministering, she also had that seductive look. So she was the bill. She was the class act. And that's why she was doing what she was doing and making them a lot of money.
My wife and I went to school with Shirley MacLaine's channeler, the lady who actually channeled demonic spirits for Shirley MacLaine. Some of y'all know the actress Shirley MacLaine. They have mediums that help them do spirit travel and astro guide and all kinds of weirdo stuff in New Age. And we went to school with her. She was a very, very interesting lady. I won't mention her name because she actually played on General Hospital or something. She was a TV star. And so she would talk about her experience with that. Well, when you become a channeler and you become an instrument, just like somebody who could be in the prophetic for God, you get used and people appreciate that. Well, same thing in the world of demonic power. They become very valuable, and these kind of people, celebrities will hire to channel demon powers for them. Does that make sense? I'm using that as a modern day illustration to tell you that's exactly what was happening. So she was worth big bucks. Okay? So let's see what happens with all that and why that matters, and I brought that out. So he turned, he said, "The Spirit of command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and he came out the same hour, verse 19. "And when her master saw that the hopes of their gains were gone," now notice this, they saw something. You know why? They saw her straight. If you ever cast out a devil before, when that person is free, their whole complexion changes, their eyesight changes, their everything about them changes. You know that. And they're free. Sometimes they go, and they'll breathe a breath, and they'll catch themselves. Sometimes it's very traumatic because that demon pulls out of them. It's not a simple thing as you see on TV or what have you. And again, that's for another time. But so when her master saw, so they saw something, that their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. So again, follow me with Paul. Follow me with this walk of Christian faith. Okay, it's not all this. Cameras and stuff and lights and clothes, pretty clothes. It's not all this. Ministry is much dirtier. Ministry is much harder. Ministry is work. The anointing is not for you to look good. The anointing is for you to get something done, and that's to get people delivered. So we're watching Paul. You know, again, I think if I was writing a story about, you know, some things, I don't know if I'd put all this stuff in here. But God put in all the stuff so we could learn. So here they are. You know, most people say, oh, yeah, and they cast out the devil. And it was a big, big party, and everybody celebrated them. No, next thing you know, Paul and Silas, it literally says that they grabbed them and they dragged them into the marketplace. Now, remember, Philippi was a Roman colony. So who they brought them to were Roman commanders. These people were serious. Now, remember, Rome was one of the greatest empires ever. But Rome was a very strong iron fist when it came to legalities, when it came to laws and rules. You follow the rules of Rome or you suffer the consequences, okay? So think about that with me. This is not getting caught shoplifting or, you know, something mamby-pamby that we have happen here in the States. This is huge, okay? So watch what happens to these guys. So they caught them, they drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, verse 20, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Now, if I were using modern-day vernacular, basically I would write the story this way. These guys right here are terrorists. These guys right here are destroying the public safety, and we have great concern for the safety of this colony, for the safety of this city. That's what they told these guys. What do you think the Romans are going to do? Oh, well, you know, I don't. They were staunch. They were strong. They were like, we're not going to allow that to happen. This is Rome, because everybody feared Caesar. All you had to do was say, this is going to get back to Caesar. It's fixed, buddy. We're going to get in line. We're not going to have any troubles with you, right? So they brought him to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews." Now, here's something interesting. When you look at this, it says Jews. It wasn't that they hated the Jews. There was some agreements with the Jews. There was some agreement with them preaching Judaism, proselyting, if you will. But the Romans still had their rules. I'm going to show you why all this transpired, okay? Because it gets really interesting. So it's not just that they were Jews per se. Watch this. "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us,
lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So these masters of this slave, the spirit of Python, comes to the Roman commanders, the magistrates, the rulers, and say that they're preaching a doctrine that is against Rome. We can't receive this. Now, here's how you know it wasn't against Jews or Judaism. Because they didn't have a problem with Judaism. They didn't understand Christianity, because in Christianity, we say the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of all lords. Paul and them weren't preaching Judaism. They were preaching Christianity. Do you see this? So when they heard that, those Roman magistrates, the commanders, they had to act, because this was an assault against Caesar. There ain't but one king, and that's Caesar. There ain't one kingdom, that's but Rome. You know, so they had this mindset. So they had Paul and Silas in a trap. Isn't that interesting? So it had nothing to do with being Jews, because they weren't teaching Judaism. They were teaching Christianity. And you see how volatile Christianity was in this birthing stage, and how easy these things could have transpired into the snuffing out of Christianity. But God had a plan, man. God had an awesome plan. So watch this. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now, some scholars say they stripped them to their waistline. Others say they were fully exposed. It doesn't really matter, because what came next was worse than the embarrassment of being ashamed, of being, you know, being stripped in front of the crowd. Because what they did was they began to beat them. And I find this kind of funny, the name they gave these guys. They had these thugs called lictors, L-I-C-T-O-R-S, and they carried these big giant clubs with them. Some had axe handles, and that's what their job was. They were lictors. And that when they were called to put on the beating, just go call the lictor, because you're fixing to get some licks. Isn't that funny? Not really if you're Paul and Silas, but that was their job, was to beat them into submission. So here's Paul and Silas. Now, Timothy and Luke, we don't know where they are. Apparently, they didn't bother them, because one was a Gentile and one was a half-Gentile, and they just left them alone. We're not really sure as far as history is concerned, but it was Paul and Silas that they grabbed hold of. Now, watch this. This is very interesting. And when I first read this, I already knew the history of Paul, so I questioned the Holy Spirit about this. But Paul and Silas were Romans. Paul and Silas were Romans. Now, you'll find later on, we'll get into verse 37, we'll see this later on, but they weren't allowed to do what they just did to them. Because in Roman law, for a Roman citizen, you had to give them a trial first. Then if they're guilty, then you beat the tarnations out of them. That's fair. But here they just beat the tarnations out of them because of that. But my question was, why didn't Paul say something? There's no scriptural reason. You can study it out. I want you to study it. Go for it. Study it. I haven't found it. There's no scriptural reason for it, because Paul doesn't mention the reason. But he allowed the process to transpire for him and Silas. Even Silas didn't say anything. They could have avoided this beating. They didn't. Wow. Think about it for a minute. That'll mess with your theology for a minute. It'll mess with you saying that God will make a way for me. You know how we always do that. You know, he's going to make a way. I'm going to have to go through no trouble. Well, maybe sometimes God wants you to go through some stuff, and there's some reason behind it. I don't know. I don't think Paul had a death wish. I think Paul would have pushed Silas out of the way and took the beatings. I think he was that kind of guy, maybe vice versa. But for some reason, they did not do that. They took the beating. So think about that. Pray on that. It's pretty interesting concept. All right, so watch this. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates ran off their clothes and commanded them to beat them. That's pretty exciting. Now think about this for a minute. The Jewish law was 39 stripes. That's the maximum the Jewish law could give. The Romans had no such law. The Romans could beat you to death. And so when you see this in the sterile view of just scripture, black and white on a piece of paper, you need to use your imagination and realize these men had no emotional attachment to Paul and Silas. They beat them. They beat them bloody, and they beat them very bad. Okay? And how do you know that? I want to give you two scriptures for you to look up later on. 2 Corinthians 11:27, Paul said, I was beat without number. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. He said that he was shamefully treated. And he's mentioning this particular incident as well as others. But in 2 Corinthians, he said, I was beaten without number. In other words, I have no idea how much they beat me. And when I look at this and I think about how many times we cry, complain, get critical, back up, do the crawl, Dad, I don't want to serve right now because this is too hard, or whatever we do in ministry, and you have friends and family, you know what I'm talking about. And I look at this, I say, these were men of God. God, help me to become like this. Now, I'm not in that position to go get beat up every day. Thank the Lord, even though I'm married, I don't have that particular. Where's the drum roll? Come on, Leon. No, I'm serious. I mean, we don't have this opportunity, but the tenacity and the faith and the courage and the boldness, can we just have that over the smaller stuff that we go through? Could the church just get a backbone and be strong? When you look at this, this makes me go to the Father and say, God, I want more tenacity. I want that type of faith. If they could handle that and still serve you, can I handle when somebody doesn't say hi to me or tell me this or tell me that or whatever we do in the church? You know how we get mad? The preacher walked right by me. Big deal. Maybe he had to go potty. Give the guy a break. Now, if he does it 30 times, there's a problem. Maybe he's got to go to the bathroom 30 times. But you know how we act? Sister so-and-so. You know, it's like, really, give me a break. These guys got their brains beat in. And they could have stopped it. That's the wild thing. Put that in your pumpkin head for a second. I mean, think about it. They could have stopped it, but they allowed it to go through. And it wasn't for a good beating. Okay, so you have to be a little more discerning than that. But watch this, okay? You're also thinking about the pastor walking by. Verse 23, and when they had laid many, how many stripes? Many. We have no idea. But Paul said, hey, man, I got beat one time without number. They just continuously beat me, all right? So they're beating them, man. Again, funny name, lictors. All right. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, when it says it cast them into the prison, you have to actually go prison. You have to go further into to the historical understanding. They actually went to the farthest, darkest, deepest part of the prison. They were like terrorists. They were the worst. This wasn't, again, shoplifting. This wasn't they stole an orange from the marketplace. They were. Usurping the authority of Rome, usurping and coming against the dictatorship, if you will, of Caesar. This was huge in the magistrate's mind. That's why they did what they did to him in the public, tossed him into that prison cell way in the back. And when it says it gives him charge, what it means is that the sergeant, the commander of the prison, had charge to continue torturing them. It wasn't just a public beatdown and they were done. See, we have this wrong mindset in America, because if you've ever been in a jail, those guys live better than most of y'all. If you've ever been in a prison, I was a prison officer. I know that they had more rights than I did. They had better health care than I did. That's a fact. And if they needed legal counsel, they got it for free. I'd have to pay for it. That's today. That's America. That's modern. Think about it, how bad it was for these guys, okay? I just wanted to let your imagination go real deep with me on this, okay? Now watch this. Whoever received a charge thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Now, this is pretty interesting too, and I'm going to close with this understanding. And I want to be descriptive so we can get a revelation of what price these guys paid to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They put them in stocks. Basically, there were wooden holes that were carved out into these blocks of wood, usually planks of wood. And what they would do is they would put their feet in the stocks, but they were not designed for comfort. They weren't designed to have the feet just put together like this. They were designed to spread their legs as far as they could in order to put as maximum pain on their legs. And they were required to lay on their back on a bare floor. So your back is bloody on a nasty floor with your legs put into stocks and them, you know, set apart to where you would receive cramps and all types of pain. You know, this wasn't an easy thing, but they didn't stop it. This is the interesting thing. They didn't stop it. They allowed it to go through. And more interesting than that, God didn't stop it. He allowed it. It was part of his plan. There was a reason for this. There was a reason that God wanted this to take place, in which we're going to look at a little more as we go into the next time we get together. But I wanted to bring this out. I'm going to stop here because the next part is really exciting, and we begin to see some of the reasons and what God had planned for. But I want to leave you with this understanding. You know, again, what we tolerate in our life to stay in our life will cause us deeper problems, will cause us to lose our victory. So we deal with them. We deal with them speedily. And we tell the devil, hey, you got to go. You know, I'm not going to let you stay and dwell with me and hang out. You have to go. I command you to go. I can't tolerate you anymore. I refuse to tolerate you. And then the other aspect of this lesson tonight is there are some things that God wants us to go through, some things we don't understand. Think about it for a minute as we close. Think about some of your struggles, as I think about mine. Some of the things that we've gone through, we wonder why, God, you allowed me to go through. And then you can stand here today and look back and say, I see why. I see why you let me go through that. I understand I'm here now, and if I wouldn't have gone through it there, I wouldn't be here. And let me tell you something about the lessons of God. If you do not learn your lesson then, you will eventually revisit the same course. You will go right back to school, open the same book, and take the same test. It's better to deal with it when it's before you. As much as I hate it, we roll up our sleeves and we say, okay, let's get through this thing. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And we're going to see that next time we get together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the testimony of Paul and Silas and watching this incredible demonstration of faith. These guys, they loved you, Father God, and there was a greater purpose in their lives. They didn't have to do what they did, but they did it because they were led by your Spirit. Father, I just pray that you'd help all of us here tonight to be that way, to have bulldog tenacity type of faith, that once we grab a hold of something, we don't let go. And no matter how deep into the prison we get, no matter how deep into the struggle we get, we'll stay faithful because we know the light of your love is there and you're going to deliver us out of every issue. Bless all your people tonight, Father. We love you. Look forward to Friday ISM, and I sure look forward to Sunday morning as well. Bless everybody in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you guys. I love you. Woo!